Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
There are around 50 prisoner of war camps in Ukraine holding hundreds of Russian soldiers and conscripts in detention. While some of those will be held on suspicion of war crimes, Kyiv confirmed most of them will be swapped for Ukrainian soldiers held in Russia. This has been a regular feature of the war, and Kyiv said this month it secured the release of 1,762 men and women so far in prisoner swaps. Well, I'm joined now by James Waterhouse, Ukraine correspondent with the BBC, who was granted access to one of these facilities and was able to speak to some of the Russians incarcerated there. Good morning, James, and thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
Tell us a little bit about where this facility is that you visited and how free the prisoners were to speak to you. What was it like?
Well, I've got to give a couple of caveats, really, before I even get into it. Firstly, that we weren't allowed to say exactly where this prisoner camp was. It was in western Ukraine, and this was a jail that ironically was used as a prisoner of war facility during the Second World War for Soviet soldiers and then German soldiers. So history really does have a habit of repeating itself in a way. But we've got to stress, this was Ukraine granting us access, but Ukraine would be compelled to put on a good show, to show that it was treating soldiers well, because it wants to secure future releases of its own soldiers, and it also wants to show Western allies that it is being squeaky clean. So we're talking about an austere, gritty jail. It was crumbling in some areas. It was incredibly quiet. And then when you moved in, you were suddenly met with 30 or 40 Russian prisoners of war in one room. And they smelt quite badly. It wasn't clear how often they were being able to wash. A lot of them looked malnourished. They looked defeated. They had that kind of glazed expression. And again, we spoke to some, but these are men that would have not been speaking freely. It is not in their interests to say bad things about their captors. They want to try and impress them in order to negotiate their own exchanges. So what this was an insight into the growing kind of prisoner economy of the war in Ukraine, the only area really, one of only two areas, I think, where there has been cooperation between Kyiv and Moscow.
And James, you mentioned that they're in this room, 30 to 40 of them. Are they incarcerated in that room? Are they allowed to move around? What's the day-to-day life like?
I think if we're using comparisons with normal jails, the leash was quite loose. So a lot of the men had jobs. They were plastering what would be the new canteen. Some were making garden furniture. And this is good quality garden furniture. It seemed to be well rehearsed what they were doing. We found the same tables and chairs advertised online for about 100 euros. So they were being put to work in that way. A lot were injured. They were limping with presumable shrapnel wounds. Some had bandages on their feet, on their hands, which suggested they could have suffered burns. And what was interesting, there were a few that still had a bit of fight in them. There were still a few that wanted to interact with you, and they were curious in some ways. They went to the canteen. They had a sizable meal of barley and meat and vegetable soup. But again, we don't know how often they get these kind of meals. Ukraine was keen to show that they get them regularly. And they stood up at one point and thanked the prison for lunch in Ukrainian. So it was choreographed in bits. My sense was that these men were not long off the battlefield. There was a lot of trauma on display and a lot of injuries.
And did you think that they were getting medical treatment for those injuries?
Not that, as far as we saw, they had bandages on, they had crutches where needed, and all I can really tell you is what we saw. So they had received it. Whether it was ongoing care, I do not know.
Now, the garden furniture that they were making, they were being paid for that work, weren't they? Because that was a commercial enterprise. Did you get any indication that they were getting some money?
We could only go on that claim by the Ukrainian guards there. They said that there was a private company that had a contract with the jail. And part of Ukrainian law says that prisoners do have to be offered work or put into work. So what we were told was that only Russian officers had the option of opting out of doing any work. But from what we saw, most were taking up that opportunity.
In terms of the contact that they have with their families in Russia, are they allowed to make phone calls?
They are, again, we're told they're allowed to make a phone call every 2 weeks. If it doesn't connect, they're asked if they have another number. We saw this. If they don't, then that opportunity has passed. I sensed that this was the moment the mask briefly slipped. There was one young man, he rang his mum in occupied Luhansk, the eastern city of Luhansk, and he told her he was alive, he was in captivity. And she used a derogatory term for Ukrainians, basically translating to those bloody Ukrainians. She went, "What with those bloody Ukrainians?" And he said, "Mum, stop. The main thing is that I'm fine." And this is a woman who is living in a Ukrainian city. Now, she might be a Russian citizen. She might have moved there. She might have accepted the offer of a Russian passport since it was occupied 9 years ago. We don't know, but it just shows that kind of division within the borders of Ukraine.
Well, it also shows that he was afraid. He was afraid to have a conversation where she was potentially about to say more derogatory things about Ukrainians. And that fear was there for a reason, you've got to surmise.
Absolutely. And there was a guard stood right over him, you know, and we were there, you know, we were still a presence as well. So you could see the kind of pressure they were under. But look, it's clearly something that is working for both sides because, you know, just yesterday, Ukraine negotiated another 100 prisoners to be swapped. And these are prisoners. Most of them were defending Mariupol early on in the invasion. And so, you know, if they are still negotiating releases or exchanges more than a year into this full-scale invasion, this is a kind of an operation that is going to continue for some time. But there are 50 other facilities. We don't know what the conditions are like there. We don't know whether if there are more elite fighters there. When you saw this group of men, they were defeated. They did not look like well-trained soldiers. They seemed like men who just suddenly found themselves a long way from home. But you know, it's always very difficult. We don't know what they had done, but it was certainly interesting.
Now, you wrote as well about their leisure activities in inverted commas, because they're forced, aren't they, to watch Ukrainian TV and documentaries in Ukrainian about the war.
Yes, and you know, you can't help but feel that this is a missed opportunity by the Ukrainians, because the message, there was no mistaking the messaging inside this prison. You know, on the walk-in, there were images of ancient Ukrainian rulers on the walls, which they were made to march past. There were Ukrainian flags everywhere. And as you say, in this television room, they were made to sit and watch documentaries. And they'd watch documentaries on, the prisoners told us this, on Ukrainian politics, on the history of Ukraine. And, you know, because it was in Ukrainian, you can say with relative certainty that the majority of the room would not have understood it. There are similarities between Russian and Ukrainian, but they are different languages. But then what happens is we go up and we approach a soldier and we ask, "Do you understand this?" And he said, "Yes, of course. It's very, more or less, it's very informative and very educating. Take from that what you will." But you know, I think what Ukraine is trying to do, if what they showed us was credible, then it might be to lessen their fight, because if these Russian men are exchanged, they are likely to find themselves back on the battlefield.
James, thank you very much for that fascinating insight into the prisoner of war camp for Russian soldiers inside Ukraine. James Waterhouse is Ukraine correspondent with the BBC.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.